It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer-Kent. Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee gave their final stamp of approval on a two-year budget. It will next need to pass both chambers before it hits Democratic Governor Tony Evers' desk. We're going to recap what was passed, how the plans differ from those proposed by Governor Evers, and the path for the budget going ahead. That's what we're talking about on this week's State Capitol Report. How do you want to see the legislature and the governor negotiate on this budget? Are you hopeful they'll reach some sort of compromise? Or do you prefer to see them dig in and defend their respective plans? And why would that be? How should they tackle funding for transportation, for example, Medicaid, tax cuts? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234 is the number to call to join the program. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter. She co-hosts the WPR Politics Podcast. Laurel, good morning.
Good morning, John.
And Sean Johnson is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. He's also co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. Sean, good morning.
Good morning.
Sean, let's start with you. How much of this budget hits on Democratic Governor Tony Evers' priorities? How close is it to what he wanted?
I think that's very much an eye of the beholder kind of question. I mean, there are a lot of areas of the budget where Republicans met the governor or, you know, in some cases exceeded what he wanted to spend on specific state programs. But if you look at big picture, some of the stuff that the governor campaigned on, schools, healthcare, roads is kind of still burned into my brain from the last year's campaign. So look at schools. I mean, they have a big increase in there for school funding, but it's about $900 million short of what the governor wanted. They do have an increase in there for Medicaid, you know, for the state's healthcare funding. But they did not do the expansion of Medicaid the way that the governor wanted and expand Medicaid to an estimated 82,000 people. There is, the biggest increase in transportation revenue that we've seen in Wisconsin in a long time, but it's not quite as big as what Evers wanted. So they're all areas where they're moving his direction in some way, but it's not what the governor called for. And so, you know, to say how it matches up with his priorities, it kind of depends on where you're starting.
And how have Democrats responded to the Joint Finance Committee's budget plan?
You know, generally they have been on the same page with Evers. I shouldn't say generally. I can't think of a vote where they've been dramatically different from the governor on the Finance Committee. They have pretty much at every turn talked about Republicans missing opportunities to not go along with Governor Evers. So, you know, the way that these votes have unfolded in the Finance Committee is Democrats will basically offer their plan. Their plan is the governor's plan. It gets voted down on a party line vote, and then Republicans introduce their version. It passes on a party line vote. So the parties, there's not a lot of, at least in the votes that we've seen so far, not a lot of middle ground.
Well, let's talk about income taxes, Sean. The GOP-controlled Budget Committee approved roughly $450 million in income tax cuts. Who would benefit from their income tax cut?
The way that they structured their income tax cuts, they would be aimed at the bottom two brackets in Wisconsin. And so what they did last week is they did a combination of a new round of tax cuts, income tax cuts in the state budget. And they also passed this bill separately, which would increase sales tax collections from online retailers and turn that around and into income tax cuts, you know, again, for those bottom two brackets. And so you're talking about the average taxpayer would see a $75 tax cut in the first year of the budget. I think it's like $136 million in the second year of the budget, roughly. So that's where their tax cut was focused.
Let's hear what Milwaukee Democrat Evan Goyke had to say on the proposed income tax cut.
You know, I woke up this morning assuming that today would be the Republican exclamation point, the coup de grace, this unbelievable tax motion, and it's smaller than the governor's. It hits fewer people, provides lower income tax relief than Governor Evers.
So, Sean, how much smaller is the cut than Evers' proposal, and why did Republican committee members decide to go in a different direction?
If you just look at overall what the two plans would spend, Evers wanted roughly $834 million income tax cut. And his plan would have cut taxes for the average taxpayer by about $216 per year. So, again, that's $834 million total to about $458 million total from Republicans, and then about $216 for the average taxpayer compared to $136 for the average taxpayer in the Republican plan. The big difference between the two is that Evers is working with more money for his. Republicans are working within a balance that's already in the state budget, whereas Evers would go out and get more money by increasing taxes or scaling back tax credits for manufacturers and by collecting more from capital gains from wealthier Wisconsin residents.
So how would the Republican plan then affect lower income families?
The money would be actually the tax cuts would be geared toward the lower income brackets. I mean, the lower bracket in Wisconsin would the tax code in Wisconsin under the Republican plan would be more progressive than it is now, which is interesting because there are Republican members who would like a flat tax in Wisconsin. This is definitely not that. It would lower income taxes for the bottom two brackets in Wisconsin.
Sean Johnson is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief and co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. Laurel White is also with us, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter, and also a co-host of the Politics Podcast. Laurel, the legislature's Budget Committee voted to approve nearly $2 billion for state construction projects. That includes more than $1 billion for the UW system. What UW system projects would this address?
So the Budget Committee essentially approved pretty much everything that was in the governor's proposal for UW system building projects, which is a pretty big deal. And there are a lot of projects in there, so I won't list all of them. But some of the biggies, kind of the most expensive ones, are a $130 million project for a new chemistry building at the UW-Milwaukee. That's something they've been pushing for a while. $128 million for additions and renovations to the vet school at UW-Madison. And then a new health science building at the UW-Eau Claire that's going to cost about $109 million.
Were there some big-ticket UW projects that were rejected, and do we know why?
So there really weren't. There was one UW project that stuck out as kind of being filtered away from these other projects that were approved, and that's a new health building at the UW-La Crosse, actually the phase two of expanding this building. And UW-La Crosse officials are pretty concerned about the project being cut. They say that it's really essential to get this building finished because right now, actually, it doesn't have accessible features for disabled individuals. So they say this is really essential to get this project finished. I think that's about an $83 million project.
UW System President Ray Cross said he felt kicked in the shins after the Budget Committee approved spending $69 million less on universities than Evers proposed. How's he feeling now on the building projects?
Right. So that was the previous vote on the kind of their operations budget, and he certainly wasn't pleased with that. After this vote, though, he put out a statement and said that he was very grateful for the investment in the UW system. So I think, some lawmakers on the committee actually joked that his shins must be feeling a lot better now.
We're talking with Sean Johnson and Laurel White, the State Capitol Reporting Team and co-host of the Wisconsin WPR Politics Podcast, about the state budget. Our conversation continues, and you can join us at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the plan that the Joint Finance Committee passed? And what would you like to see going forward? 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about the state budget in this week's State Capitol Report. WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and State Capitol Reporter Laurel White are here to break down what the Joint Finance Committee voted on last week and look ahead to what's next for the budget document. How do you think transportation and Medicaid funding should be handled, for example? Is there room for some compromise here? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can email us ideas@wpr.org. Both ways work. Laura White, moving outside the UW system, what other capital budget projects did the committee approve?
So the committee approved all of the projects that the governor proposed for three different departments. This kind of stood out a little bit. That was Military Affairs, Veterans Affairs, and the Wisconsin Historical Society. A couple big projects that have been, a lot of attention has been paid to. One is a $100 million cancer research facility within the Medical College of Wisconsin. That's something that the governor's talked quite a bit about. Of course, we know he talked about being a cancer survivor during his campaign. And then another one that's gotten a little bit of press after the Joint Finance Committee took the vote, the Wisconsin Historical Society got money for a new Wisconsin History Museum that's going to be in Madison.
Let's shift our focus here a little bit and talk about juvenile justice spending. Laurel, the committee voted to remove $115 million from the budget. For that, that money was going to go to pay for replacing the state's youth prisons, Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. What was the reasoning behind this decision?
So essentially what this chunk of money would do, this was $115 million in borrowing that was going to be dedicated to building the state-run facilities to replace Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. So these state-run facilities are kind of part of the new network of juvenile justice in Wisconsin, or will be. And these would be for the highest level offenders, kind of the most serious crimes would go to these facilities. There would also be county-run facilities for other offenders. So this is just one piece of the puzzle. We talked to lawmakers kind of later in the week, actually, who've been really involved in this juvenile justice issue, and they said that they're not incredibly concerned about this $115 million being removed for these specific facilities, because they said, we're going to come back probably sometime in September to approve a new figure for borrowing for those facilities, because they actually didn't believe that $115 million was going to be enough to build these two new state-run facilities. So they're actually pretty comfortable with this amount being taken out because they weren't happy with it.
So how did Democrats respond after that vote?
So Democrats have been concerned, as honestly have some Republican lawmakers, about this juvenile justice restructure and making changes as the process goes along, because they're concerned about the timeline. They don't think that the state is moving fast enough to get inmates out of Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, which, of course, those facilities have had, reports of abuse and neglect for years. And there have been recent reports saying that things like solitary confinement and the use of pepper spray have continued there. So lawmakers are really invested in getting inmates out of there as soon as possible, whereas the governor and the administration are saying, of course, we want to get inmates out of there, but we want to do so in a thoughtful way, and not transfer them out until we have facilities that are adequate and ready to house them.
Laurel, the committee approved $43 million to expand the Mendota Juvenile Treatment Facility in Madison, about $16 million less than the governor wanted. What would the additional money pay for?
So this is part of that, big system change. They just wanted this facility to be able to accommodate more individuals. Part of the juvenile justice restructure is just getting individuals closer to their home communities, closer to their families. So making this facility a little bit bigger is part of the plan to do that. That additional funding, as the governor proposed, would have paid for 50 additional staff and 64 more beds at the facility. So, of course, just trimming down those numbers makes the expansion just a little smaller.
Sean Johnson is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter. They're here with me to talk about the state budget. Joint Finance Committee finished its work last week, and now the budget sits in front of the Assembly and the Senate, who are expected to vote on it shortly, and then it eventually lands on Governor Evers' desk. We're kind of talking about what was in that budget that was passed last week, and wondering what you think about all of this. 800-642-1234. Let's talk about transportation next. Sean, under the Republican budget plan, vehicle title fees would go up, and so would registration fees. Can you give us the monetary breakdown of how that would work?
Registration fees would go up by $10 a year. So, I mean, every time you increase your, or every time you register your vehicle, that would be a $10 annual increase. It's the vehicle title fee that would be the larger increase under the Republican plan. It would go up by $95. And so for that one, you're talking about going up from, you know, it's right now $69.50. It would go up to $164.50. That's an increase of 137%. So a substantial increase there in the vehicle title fee, which is, I think, until that proposal came out, is not something that people were particularly watching in terms of where they might get money for transportation, but that is where Republicans were comfortable going. And between those moves and others, they're going to be generating about, or they would be generating about $390 million in new revenue for transportation. You tack on a transfer of money that they would support out of the state's general fund. So they want to take money that's normally set aside for things like schools or healthcare. They want to take $90 million from that fund and put that in the transportation fund for about $484 million overall. They would increase transportation funding.
Just for people who don't necessarily get the distinction between a title fee and a registration fee, what is a title fee?
Title fee is when you buy your car. So it doesn't matter if you're buying, you know, a luxury car or a clunker. This is the fee that you pay when you buy that car. It's a one-time fee. So the registration fee is an annual fee, and that's a $10 increase. So the registration fee would go up from $75 to $85 per year. It's the vehicle title fee that you would pay that one time when you buy your car that would go up so substantially from about $70 to $165.
Okay, so we're raising some new money for transportation. Sean, where is it going to go in the Republican plan?
You know, in some ways, it would go toward less reliance on borrowing. And it's not exciting, but they would borrow less than they have in recent budgets, about $326 million in borrowing for transportation. You know, every transportation budget has borrowing or bonding in it, and this would be some of the lowest we've seen in years. That's actually basically in line with what Governor Evers proposed. He also wanted to decrease borrowing. They would decrease it a little more than he would. And then you've got just kind of a variety of projects all over the state where the money would flow from maintenance projects to continuations of big projects like the, you know, I-39/90 widening between Madison and the Illinois-Wisconsin state line.
Governor Evers wanted a gas tax increase. We spoke on the morning show last week with Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who rejected the Evers plan for a gas tax and defended the move. Let's hear
that. As we see the future, we know that automakers are predicting that within 5 to 7 years, up to a third of the vehicles on the road could be hybrid or electric. So we certainly understand that gas tax is not the long-term funding structure if we're going to rely on what the experts in the industry tell us.
Sean, is this a common refrain we're hearing from Republicans on why they decided against a gas tax?
I mean, we have heard members of both parties sound that refrain for 15 years now, where they've said we can't do gas tax because cars are getting more efficient. So I wouldn't say that's necessarily a Republican refrain. I think it's hard to get a tax increase passed through a Republican legislature. And so Speaker Voss had been open to a gas tax increase before. I think, you know, part of what you're hearing from Republicans is just the political reality of what they can pass.
I was thinking about transportation budget battles passed between an all-Republican control legislature and a Republican governor's office. There were some things that the Republicans seemed to be for then that they're not now. Is that just because there's a Democrat in the governor's mansion?
I think kind of where the budget starts and who's in the governor's office probably made a lot of difference, because in the past, Governor Walker was saying, you know, he would veto any budget that had a gas tax increase, for example. He would say a couple of things. He'd say, I'd be open to some kind of a new transportation revenue increase as long as you offset it elsewhere with the tax cut. They actually had budgets that would do that, but Governor Walker wasn't really on board with that. So, I mean, you just have a totally different dynamic now with Governor Evers, who is open, not only open, but, you know, proposing increasing taxes or fees for roads, and a Republican legislature where you have a number of members, a number of lawmakers who have projects in their districts or rough road conditions in their districts, and they're open to the same kind of things that Governor Evers is, maybe in a different form.
And we all want the potholes to get filled. It's just a question of how we pay for it. And we're talking about the state budget this hour with Sean Johnson and Laurel White. They stay with us. You should as well. And if you have questions about how our state budget was put together so far and what's going to happen next, now would be a great time to call in with them at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email address is ideas@wpr.org. Our state capital report continues with more on roads and, more importantly, to a lot of people, Medicaid funding. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. On this edition of the State Capital Report, we're talking about the state budget just approved by the legislature's Joint Finance Committee with WPR reporters Sean Johnson and Laurel White. What do you think the state should do about Medicaid? Should the legislature take the federal Medicaid money offered under the Affordable Care Act? And how should we fund transportation projects? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can also email us ideas@wpr.org. Sean, the Joint Finance Committee's budget includes $2.5 million to pay for a study exploring mileage-based fees. What kind of information would this study try to gather?
It's a good question. We don't exactly know. I mean, when the legislature's nonpartisan budget office was asked what was meant by mileage-based fees, they said it was kind of open-ended, that the language is so vague that a mileage-based fee could be a toll. You know, it could be a study of toll roads in Wisconsin. It could be a study of a mileage-based vehicle registration fee, which is an idea that's been around for a long time, that's been implemented in other states. There are different ways to do this, something that Wisconsin could explore. We don't know. I mean, it's a study that would leave it up really to the Department of Transportation to decide what mileage-based fee means. And then what's more intriguing is that whatever the Department of Transportation comes up with, they'd have to present it to the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, so 16 lawmakers, and they would have to, under this plan, they would have to vote it up or down. It's basically sidestepping the full legislature and putting a lot of power into the Department of Transportation and the Budget Committee to decide what this fee means and whether it should happen.
And has Governor Evers weighed in on where he stands on this study or using mileage-based fees, whatever that means, to pay for road repairs?
I think he told the Journal Sentinel that he was a little uneasy with it. I didn't hear anything from the governor saying there was a hard veto promise in there, but he said he had some concerns with it. I guess the question is whether that plan makes it to Governor Evers. You know, all the stuff that we're talking about here right now has to go through the full legislature. And it was just last session that you had another $2.5 million study that was put in the budget by Republicans. Only that one was explicitly a tolling study. So that was more overtly like saying, we are going to use this study to potentially implement tolling in Wisconsin. And you had a handful of Senate Republicans who cut a deal with Governor Walker to take that out of the budget, to veto that out of the budget. There are still that handful of Republicans in the Senate still exists who was opposed to the tolling study a couple years ago. You know, would it be a different situation now with Governor Evers in the governor's office? Maybe. But I think you're going to find some lawmakers who have concerns with this as it goes through the legislature.
Don is with us in Madison on the phone this morning. Let's take that call next. Don, good morning. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you. I guess my opinion on how lawmakers are trying to come up with funding to pay for our roads is this. the way it stands with their proposal, they want to increase licensing fees and registration fees, title fees, I guess. And, you know, to me, it seems like they want Wisconsin residents to foot 100% of the bill for maintaining our roads. And I don't think that's fair because, obviously, Wisconsin is a tourist state. We draw other drivers from many other states who put, you know, thousands, if not millions of miles on our roads. And I just don't think it's fair to have the Wisconsin taxpayers foot 100% of the bill to maintain our roads when, you know, yes, we may put the majority of the wear and tear on them, but we certainly do not put 100% of the wear and tear on our roads.
Mm-hmm. Don, thanks for that call. Sean, is this the kind of pushback we're hearing on the Republican plan?
This is what you've heard from Democrats, definitely. They've been very much supporting the governor's plan to increase the gas tax by 8 cents per gallon immediately and then bring back something called gas tax indexing in Wisconsin, where the gas tax goes up automatically in future budgets to keep pace with inflation, and lawmakers don't have to vote on it. Governors don't have to sign it. You put indexing back in, and the gas tax kind of would take care of itself. So Democrats are saying, and I mean, and everything that Don mentioned there is accurate, that under the plan that is now moving through the legislature, the Republican plan, if it's a fee-based plan, it hits people who own cars or buy cars in Wisconsin. And those motorists who come in and use the roads from other states will not see an increase in the gas tax. And so they won't be contributing to this, you know, this increased funding for transportation.
Don, thanks so much for your call. There's a line available for you if you'd like to join our discussion about the state budget, 800-642-1234. Sean, a part of the Joint Finance Committee's budget would block local control of quarries. What does that mean?
This is something that in committee really didn't get any discussion, something that our colleague Rich Kramer reported on. And it basically is it would prevent local governments from regulating blasting at rock quarries and sand and gravel pits without state approval. So they wouldn't be able to regulate air or water quality at quarries beyond state standards. This is very similar to something that was put in the last budget. It was vetoed by Governor Walker. Local governments are pushing back less against this plan than they were the last plan. They've said that it's not as, I guess, objectionable. You have to remember local governments, towns, cities, villages, counties are getting more road funding in this budget, too. So they have to weigh these things as kind of a balancing act in terms of what's being taken away from them and what's being given to them. From what we could tell, from what Rich could tell from his reporting, there was one case in here where you had in Deerfield, there was some stronger local regulations to restrict blasting to protect a 165-year-old church that sits across the street from a quarry. And I don't know if that was the only instance that drove this, but there's an example of a local government that enacted tougher standards than the state has. And under this provision that was added in the Finance Committee, they wouldn't have that power.
Aaron Longmire, director of the Aggregate Producers of Wisconsin, says he supports the plan.
It's become an increasingly larger problem year after year where local units of government would like to take on more regulation than what even the state or the feds have allowed for non-metallic mining in Wisconsin.
So Aaron Longmire is saying this is a statewide problem, but we really only see the one example. So which is it?
That's the example that we know of. I think Rich was trying hard to find more examples, and that's the one that he was able to track down. You might ask, why is this being put in the transportation budget? My recollection when this came up in the last budget was that lawmakers who supported it were saying, well, this is tied directly to transportation because to make roads, you need these raw materials. And so we need to make sure that these raw materials are affordable, not, you know, their costs aren't increased by local regulations. Okay. But I don't know how widespread this is other than what Rich was able to find with this one church that's very old.
Sean Johnson is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter. Let's shift our focus to Medicaid next, because that's certainly a big deal in the state budget. And as we do that, let's take a call from Carol in Milwaukee. Carol, good morning. Welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. My opinion is that Governor Evers should veto when they pass it. They'll probably pass it because so much money has not been included for education, but especially now that you're talking about Medicare, I don't think they're allowing the acceptance of the money from the federal government, which would be a total gain for Wisconsin.
Okay, Carol, thanks. Thanks for that comment. Laurel, the Republicans move forward with their own plan on Medicaid, different than what the governor wanted. What does the Republican plan look like? What was approved? And is there any hope that we'll be seeing Wisconsin take the federal Medicaid money?
Well, Carol's completely right. The Budget Committee did reject accepting that federal expansion of Medicaid, which was a really big part of Governor Evers' budget. He said it would have saved the state about $320 million over the next 2 years. He said that he would have used that savings and some additional money to leverage more than $1 billion in additional federal spending for programs that have matches and things like that when you put state money in. So that was certainly a big departure that Republicans voted on last week. But what is in the budget, it's a $588 million increase for Medicaid and other health programs. That's about $187 million less than the governor called for. There are some areas of agreement with the governor. They included some reimbursement rate increases for personal care workers in Wisconsin. That's something that we've heard a lot about. They also increased the nursing home reimbursement rate. So those are some overlaps we can talk a little bit more about later. But of course, there were a lot of programs that the governor pushed for that had to be trimmed out because of those funding differences. Some of the highlights there include programs for children with disabilities that have either been diagnosed or high risk for developmental disabilities. It was early intervention. A program aimed at curbing tobacco use was another spending program from the governor, and about $26 million for county mental health services. So the governor had a pretty expansive budget, and Republican lawmakers just said it was too much money, too unwieldy, and they needed to trim quite a bit from it in this area.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Medicaid in just a little bit. Sean Johnson is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief, and Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter. Our State Capitol Report continues in a moment. Phone lines available for you if you want to participate in the discussion at 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. In this week's edition of the State Capitol Report, we are talking about the state budget. The legislature's Budget Writing Committee has passed its version of the budget along to the Assembly and Senate, which will ultimately put it on Governor Evers' desk. What do you think about what the committee passed? What about the committee's budget would you like to see changed, or do you hope it passes as is? And how realistic is it? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can also email us, ideas@wpr.org. Laurel, we had a caller, Marie, from Sheboygan, who couldn't stay with us. She asked how the budget splits up health benefits for seniors and other people. I think the point here is who benefits the most from the changes that the legislators' Joint Finance Committee made to Medicaid?
Well, I think when talking about seniors, it's interesting to mention those areas of overlap that I talked about before. So those nursing home reimbursement rates and those personal care worker hourly rates. Nursing homes and personal care workers are things that we've really been hearing about in the Capitol for years. And the budget committee said that this was something that they heard a lot about at their public hearings as well. They said a lot of people came up to testify about nursing homes, saying that the nursing home in their community was closing because it wasn't getting enough money from the state. So committee co-chair Senator Alberta Darling said that that really had an impact on lawmakers, and they decided to go ahead and increase those reimbursement rates. That was something that the governor had in his budget, but they went ahead and did that actually more than the governor had requested. And similarly for those personal care workers that come in and provide support, the governor was going to increase those salaries gradually over 2 years to $17.24 an hour, but Republicans went ahead and approved $18.24 an hour. So those are things that are certainly, I think, going to be felt within the senior community, those services that they use.
Laurel, the Joint Finance Committee also approved more money for Wisconsin Shares, a child care subsidy program for low-income working families. What does the committee's plan for this program look like?
So essentially what this plan would do, it's going to cost about $56.5 million. And it's going to increase how much the state pays for daycare centers that serve all individuals. But these reimbursement rates are for low-income working families, and they're increasing the amount the state pays for those families on behalf of those families. This is something that Democratic lawmakers actually spent quite a bit of time talking about on the committee. They said that the state has really lagged behind in how much it has paid in these reimbursement rates. They said that this increase is good, but that it's not quite good enough. They really wanted more than this. So what this bump would do is it raises Wisconsin to be within 15% of the federal government's recommended 75th percentile for payments. And they said, that's wonderful that you're getting us within 15%, but we want to be at the federal government's recommended rate for these reimbursements. So I think we'll see continued debate on that issue.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and Sean Johnson is WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, I think this next call is for you. We talked about this a little bit earlier, wondering how widespread the practice is of local units of government regulating things like gravel pits. We have a caller, Jeff, in Burlington, who I think can clarify some of that for us. Jeff, go ahead.
Good morning, folks. I'm a supervisor in the town of Burlington, and I can directly tell you that we regulate gravel pit operations, and one of the areas that's of concern to our citizens is hours of operation. Pits frequently want to operate on Saturdays. They'd like to start at 6 in the morning. If they do that, then their people are in warming up engines at 4:30 in the morning, and people can't sleep. So we don't allow operations to begin at an ungodly hour. It's little things like that that the state legislature does not allow local control will have a big impact on quality of life.
Jeff, so I would take it then that you are not in favor of the changes in the rules proposed by the Joint Finance Committee.
Honestly, I haven't had a chance to read them, so I won't pass judgment. I do trust our state-level officials to make intelligent decisions, but it's input from folks like us that have to go into those decisions.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much for the call. Sean, you want to follow that at all?
We might have to follow up with Jeff. That's interesting.
Okay, well, we know where to find them. Thanks to caller ID. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and Sean Johnson, WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief, with us to talk about state budget issues this hour. Laurel, the Joint Finance Committee approved changes in the state's regulation for animal feeding operations, commonly known as CAFOs. What happened here? What changes did they make?
So this was a big one that we had our eyes on. There had been some reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Republican lawmakers might be interested in shifting regulation of these CAFOs from the State Department of Natural Resources to the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Now, they did not end up doing that. That's not in the budget, but we certainly had our ears perked up when this proposal came out. There's kind of a lot of the same going on for CAFOs in this budget, but there is something notable in that Governor Evers had pushed for a pretty big fee increase on these operations. He wanted them to pay a little bit more into the system so we could beef up regulation of CAFOs in Wisconsin. And lawmakers on the Budget Committee did not approve that. Democrats really stood up and argued that these operations need to shoulder more of the burden of regulatory efforts because they've had things, environmental water quality, manure spills, things like that happening that are kind of pricey. So they were disappointed that that fee increase that the governor proposed, which was a pretty hefty fee increase. He wanted to bump it from $345 a year to $660 a year, wasn't approved by the committee.
The committee also extended the state land conservation program. What does that program do?
So the stewardship program is essentially one where the state buys land and they own it for purposes of preservation and conservation. There's been a lot of debate over this program, how much it costs, how much the state owns in terms of land, and whether it's worth it. Republican lawmakers have argued for scaling back this program, and it was actually kind of on the table that the program might end entirely in this budget. They did reauthorize the program. They met the governor and agreed with him that they're going to reauthorize the program for another 2 years. Kind of to the chagrin of some Democratic lawmakers, they actually, I think this was the first time that I noticed a different motion being put forward by Democratic lawmakers on the committee than the governor had proposed. They wanted to extend the program even longer than those 2 years that the governor proposed in his plan because they said this is really valuable to have these kind of, structural protections around this land in Wisconsin.
Sean, as we close the hour here, where does the budget go from here?
This week, the budget goes behind closed doors, basically. Senate Republicans are going to meet tomorrow, I believe, to discuss the budget. And so this is a chance for rank-and-file GOP members of the legislature who are not on the budget committee to weigh in on what they think about different pieces of the budget. And they can make changes to it. I mean, if there are the Senate in the Senate, the Republicans can only lose two Republican senators and still pass the budget with only Republican votes. So if a handful of them get together and decide they want to make some changes to the budget, they can insist on some stuff and they can make real changes to the budget. So that's what we'll be watching pretty closely this week.
And then whatever changes are made has to be reconciled before it goes to Governor Evers. Sean, what's the likelihood that Governor Evers would just veto the whole budget when it gets to him?
He has not ruled it out, and there are some pretty sizable differences on big picture issues. You know, on school funding, he wanted $1.4 billion. He got substantially less than that. You know, he's $900 million less than that. Mm-hmm. The Medicaid expansion, et cetera. But a governor has not vetoed an executive budget in Wisconsin since we went to this system in 1931. So historically, the odds are not good for him to veto the whole thing. But he hasn't said he will or won't.
Thanks so much for joining us, Sean Johnson, WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief, and Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. Thank you for both of you for being here this morning.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Later today, Republican State Representative and Joint Finance Committee member Mark Rorcast will join Central Time to talk about the state budget. That's at 3:45 this afternoon. Just ahead, a look at the 2020 Democratic primary and how that's shaping up. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show.